Welcome to the Ignite Worship Podcast. These are the messages given each Sunday at Ignite Worship at First United Methodist Church of Grand Prairie, Texas. To learn more about us, go to igniteworshipgp.org.
Happy Father's Day. And I wish you a thoughtful Juneteenth weekend. And in light of all of that, I wanted to invite a friend to preach this weekend. Because I know God has been speaking through her, and I'm excited to hear about what she has for us today. So I'm excited that my friend Miranda is coming to speak. I know she's good because she's a fellow Sooner, but mostly because I know the Holy Spirit's in her. So I'm going to pray for her, but I'm not going to put my hand on her because we're still in a quarantine. But I'm going to pray for her distantly, and then she's going to come and share God's word with us today. So let's pray. God, thank you for Miranda. Thank you for the gifts you give her. And the ways you're guiding her and leading her, and what an incredible messenger she is becoming. Please speak through her today. May your Holy Spirit be present with us here. And may we be ready for the ways you are leading us, God, because there is no turning back. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey, y'all. So it's Father's Day weekend that opens up with Juneteenth, and I'm super excited that Travis invited me to be with y'all again. This time, we're finally, so usually it's like, is Miranda Travis? Is Travis Miranda? Is it a Spider-Man and Mrs. Nelson thing? Because they're never in the same place at the same time. But this time we do, but now we can't touch or hug or high five, or it was super amazing to have my friend pray for me in person. And we couldn't even be next to each other. But we're all doing this church thing as best as we can right now. We're all doing this life thing as best as we can right now. And for today's sermon out of 1 Peter, the second chapter, I thought it apropos given not only the message in that passage, but what's going on in the world right now, that the title of this sermon is "This Is Our Circus." We are chosen. So if you're a parent, or if you've a teacher, or anyone who has cared for children, you know the familiar saying, "This is my circus, these are my monkeys." Or when it's not your kid on the playground and you're like, "Honey, let's go. This ain't my circus, these ain't my monkeys. I'm not responsible for the mayhem that is happening right now." But Peter tells us that we are. Cringe, right? So as y'all know, sometimes I look at my notes and sometimes I just nurse my iPad because it's like a blankie or something. But this idea of leading in hard times, which is what Peter is sending out this letter to the churches that are in modern day Turkey in this second chapter of Peter, this is what he's talking about. These churches are in the context of hostility and being harassed, and Peter is sending out a letter to say, not only don't lose hope, but do the hard thing. The point of this part of 1 Peter is to affirm these new churches' identity in Jesus, to remind them that they are supposed to be a flashing neon sign where they are that says, we are different because of this guy named Jesus. So Peter ends that affirmation with these words: once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we have been chosen by God. They had been chosen by God. And we know from our tradition as Methodists, that's a Wesleyan tradition, that acknowledgement makes us, compels us to be this cornerstone that Peter talks about in the second chapter. That prevenient grace works in our lives long before we ever utter, "I believe, I will follow you, Jesus." But that the grace of sanctification, the power within us, isn't completely unleashed until the moment that we acknowledge that presence in our lives. As folks of the gospel, here's the hang-up. We like to focus on the Spirit and the salvation. We like the theatrics of resurrection and Pentecost, the whole blood and fire thing. We like those stories. But according to our liturgical calendar, these are ordinary times. Pentecost has come and gone. Resurrection Sunday has come and gone. And we are a long way away from like 6, 7, 8 week embryo baby Jesus coming out of Mary at Christmas time. We're just in ordinary times. I know, it seems like mayhem and murder are everywhere. It seemed like that to the churches in Turkey when Peter was writing as well. As Christians of the gospel, we get confused in ordinary times. Not just Christians of the gospel, they did it in the Old Testament too. They had ordinary times while Moses was trying to get those things called the Ten Commandments, and they made like a whole golden calf, right? We get confused about what we're supposed to do. We're looking for the seasons of miracles and martyrs, but it's just ordinary times. Peter is reminding us in this passage that you, that me, that we now belong to the family of Abraham. So what does that mean? It means three things in particular. It means that we must acknowledge that God has promised us something, even if that promise torments us, even if that something seems out of reach the way that it was for Sarai and Hagar, that God has promised us something. And it also means that we have to acknowledge that there is joy and pleasure to be had. Like in Ecclesiastes, when we talk about death and uncertain times, and the writer encourages us to be faithful, to love our spouses, play with our children, and break bread with our friends. And then the third thing that we have to do is we must acknowledge that we are in a relationship with God that compels us to do something that we have never done before, perhaps. Whether it's building arks like Noah, parting seas like Moses, redistributing resources and wealth like Ruth, disrupting genocide like Esther, or birthing a little boy that the state seeks to kill before he's a man like Mary. Or maybe questioning the wounds of persecution of God's child like Thomas. Relationships with God are messy. Yet God shows up fully in all of them. God honored Moses' insecurity. God honors Sarah's laughter. God honored Naomi and Ruth's codependence. God honored Mary's worried prayers. Jesus honored Thomas's doubt. Jesus even honored the woman at the well's skepticism, though he never gave her a name. She never would have had a hashtag. And Peter, even Peter, the one who writes this letter encouraging the churches experiencing harassment and hostility, even Peter, as he walked on water, walking towards Jesus, was unsure about the work that they were doing. But Jesus honored Peter's wondering. He called it out and he named it. Though it was mixed with doubt, Jesus called Peter's fear faith. That the fact that he feared something meant that there was something bigger to be hoped for. And so Peter walked on water. Even if just for a moment, and even if he started sinking and then Jesus had to come get him. For a moment, he got a glimpse, and that glimpse convinced him that he could mentor, that he could coach, that he could support these churches that he could not be with. Sort of like us. Now, Peter had firsthand experience that God doesn't want a perfect people, even as he was reminding us, them, that they were God's people. Apparently, if, as Peter reminds us, we are chosen by God, we are the family of Abraham, then God wants a loud, messy, fiery gang of folks. Folks that stumble and cry out and cause other people to stumble and cry out. and that as they are solid as a rock, a mixture of fear and doubt, that they'll become the foundation of something new. Not a monument to what has been, but a spark, a light of something. Peter is imploring us, the church, that Christ established to be mature, letting us know that to refuse the invitation he lays out in this chapter, to let fear and hurt and malice and insincerity be the ruler of our lives rather than the Holy Spirit, the friend, the comforter that God left for us in these ordinary times. That to refuse that invitation is unacceptable. That we must say yes and walk into the opportunity to both interrupt and innovate. So, our very lives, the things we cry out for and the things we express gratitude for, according to Peter, are supposed to create mayhem for someone who doesn't believe what we believe and hasn't acknowledged how Jesus has shown up in their life and doesn't experience the Holy Spirit as a friend. Our very being should cause them to stumble. And that when they stumble and fall, they'll find us there, solid as a rock, mixed with fear and faith, forming the foundation of something new together. That's what you do when you're chosen, even in hard times, according to Peter. And so I think today, since I've got fear and I've got a little bit of faith, that maybe that's enough to get us through until we can be together again. I love y'all, and hopefully the next time Travis asks me back, I'll get to hug y'all again. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to the Ignite Worship Podcast from the First United Methodist Church of Grand Prairie, Texas. To learn more about us, go to igniteworshipgp.org.